Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
So in other words, they eliminate Kyrie Irving, the problem, and at the end of the day, make no progress. It's the same problem. It's Kendrick Perkins last night on the NBC Sports Boston postgame show reacting to the implosion by the Celtics last night during the game and then in the locker room. And that's where we will begin on an Agenda Free Friday. Agenda Free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. We'll give you more information on that in a second, but what's your leadoff thought, Maz?
Who do they blame now? Who do you blame now? Who are you going to blame? Al Horford left, right? He chose to leave. So did Kyrie. But Horford also walked out the door and chose Philly over Boston. You made this point at the time. And think of that. Think of the dumpster fire that Philly is. And Al Horford said, I'll choose that. I'll choose that. So who do you blame now?
Who do you?
I mean, I go to the core guys. I go to Tatum, Smart, and Brown. To me, that's where I start. I believe that basketball teams are built around their best players. That's what I believe. Not the best coaches. Football is different. But in the NBA, it's about the players. It's a players' league. So to me, that's where you start. Who are you guys going to blame now? You guys want, you were all the man coming up. You're all the guy. Everybody's the guy. So who are you going to blame now? If you can't figure it out, you can't share the ball, you can't figure out the end of the game, who are you going to blame? Are you going to blame the coach? You're going to blame someone else? Or do those three guys have to look in the mirror? And I start there. It probably goes beyond that. I mean, it's hard to exclude Kemba, but he's a newcomer. The other three are the common denominator. The other three were here. Hayward was too, but he's not playing right now. So I start there. I start with those three guys.
What do you think, Murray?
They're front-running frauds. And I kind of can't believe it, because in the blink of an eye, I went from being so all in on this team. I said they were going to win the whole damn thing heading into the Toronto series. I've enjoyed watching them. I've liked them. I've liked watching the young kids grow in Brown and Tatum. And I've gone from being all in on this Boston Celtics core and this team to now wanting them to get the hell out of my face. The rest of this series is a formality. It's over. Mathematically, I know they could come back. It's over. It's over. Miami's too tough. And as a sports fan, you can lose. It happens. Sometimes things are beyond your control. Sometimes it's just not your day. It's not your series. Someone's just a little bit better than you. Just don't ever quit. Can we agree, as sports fans, you just don't want to see your team or who you're rooting for? Just don't.
Right.
Don't quit. Don't be a bunch of bitches. And emotional, mental toughness, this team has none.
Children.
Nothing.
They're children.
And I'd like to. The objective person would sit here and say, they're real young. Too young. We said that about the Bruins before, and you got blood to death about it. Brown, Tatum, they've been around long enough. They're young veterans. They've had deep playoff experience. These moments shouldn't be too big for them. And for some reason, they are. And it doesn't take much to have them go the other way. A 14-point. Let's blow a 14-point lead. Well, that won't happen again. Yeah, let's make it 17 for game two. That was... It's unbelievable. I just don't know. I don't get it. And I don't think it's an X's and O's thing. It's simply they're front running frauds. That's it. And I don't know who to blame. Maybe it is that core. Maybe it is just Tatum, Brown, and Smart. And maybe that's what it is, because what we hear from Washburn after the game, and now they're having to have meetings. But I got to point the finger at the coach too, because again, they're either tuning him out or he's just not the guy. The pieces just don't fit. I thought that they did. But they don't.
Well, so the question, when you say they're not ready, you better hope that's the case.
Right.
Saying they're not ready is the good news, is the optimistic way to put that. Being not ready implies ultimately they will be.
Yeah, they'll
grow
get
out of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Ultimately, they'll get it. So you better hope that's the case.
But we got a track record.
Right.
Now.
So you better hope they're simply not ready. There's another possibility.
that they're a-holes and they'll never get it. You know, you have to realize that's a possibility. You could say as a young player, you could say James Harden as a young player, well, he's just not ready. He'll get it someday, and he'll never get it. Or Carmelo Anthony, or I don't know, name the great NBA players who at the end of the day are just losers and will never win a thing. The league is, you know, littered with them, aren't they? I mean, there's just a ton of those guys.
Oh, no question.
I mean, I sat there last night feeling like I had egg on my face, feeling like maybe it wasn't all Kyrie. Like, I put most of that, if not all of it, on him. And maybe it wasn't all him.
Well, it definitely wasn't all him.
It definitely wasn't all him. I still think, you know, they're not a championship team, but they're better. You know, they were better. They did improve since Kyrie. It's not like it got worse or stayed exactly the same. It's not exactly the same. It looks the same right this second, but they won more games in the regular season. They've won more in the playoffs. And so, like, I think it helped that he's gone, but maybe it's just not the core issue. Maybe we're not, you know, maybe the issue is Tatum, Brown, Smart. And the good news, the optimistic thing to say is those guys aren't ready. The other side of that is maybe they're just not winners at the NBA level. And it's possibility open because that thing was ugly last night. And this is ugly what's happening to this team. I sensed it after game one. I could tell. I could feel it. Like, you know, we talked about that. Jaylen Brown, we talked about that. Like, who are you? I mean, really, at the end of the day, what have you done? To say it in that tone and that way, because Jaylen Brown doesn't get his shots in the first game, and Marcus Smart doesn't, or well, he did get his shots in game one, but the ball went away from him in the fourth quarter in game one, and so they have to talk about it. And yeah, we talked about that. And then the next game, Kemba Walker gets his shots early in the game. Brown is a little more involved, and so it's like they're all chirping about their attempts. And Brown has reached this place where if he doesn't see the ball, he's entitled to come out and say, yeah, we need to talk about this. Who the hell are you?
Right. Yeah, I feel that way about the whole lot of them, frankly. Just Brown, all of them.
All of them. All of them. Who are you? What do you think you've done? You've been drafted high, and you've won a couple playoff series where you've been the favorite. What have you done? And it's like, but they all have this sense that they need their, this is the stage they're still at. Where are my shots? Where's my role? We need to spread the ball. We need to, you know, where are all of you? Let me ask you this about Miami. Do you think Goran Dragic cares one bit that Duncan Robinson was taking the shots in the first half? Do you think he cared once? Did Goran Dragic go into the locker room at halftime and say, guys, we need to spread the ball? I mean, but you're still at that stage. And again, you better hope it's just a stage and not what you are. Because there's a million NBA teams and a million NBA players who that's just what they are. At 22 and at 32. So you better hope it's just a growing pain and not a permanent condition of what you are.
I mean, it is. It's scary. Yeah, it's scary because ultimately you're talking about selfishness and ego. And that consumes lots of teams and lots of sports. And that's what you're talking about, selfishness and ego. You say Dragic, at the end of the game, Butler did the on-court interview. And he said, yeah, you know, Dragic was our closer tonight. And he didn't seem upset about it. How many shots did Butler take last night? 12?
Yeah, hardly any.
I mean, he has scored 14 points, I think.
It pains me to be so wrong about that team, but kudos to you, Maz. You were right. They are icy cold, well, all business.
But no,
they are just...
No, they play well together is what it is.
But it's not a talent. I still refuse to say it's a talent thing.
Oh, Mike, I'm with you. The Celtics are more talented, but they're a better team.
For
Miami
sure.
Miami's a better team.
They are a better team right now. The Celtics ceiling is higher, should be higher. The Celtics are more talented. I mean, would you rather have Jaylen Brown or Duncan Robinson?
Oh, Jaylen Brown.
That's not even debatable.
Yeah, Duncan Robinson to me does one thing and one thing only.
Hey, he can't play defense.
He shoots and that's it. Not that's a bad skill to have, but again, I'm not a huge Duncan Robinson guy.
I mean, would 32 out of 32 or 30 out of 30 NBA general managers take Brown and Kemba Walker over Dragic and Duncan Robinson or Dragic and Adebayo? I don't know. Maybe that's a little debatable, but I still don't think it's a talent issue. I don't. I think the Heat played better together.
Oh, way better.
I mean, it's not even debatable. And they play tougher and harder, and they fight through adversity 10 times better. It's all those intangible things. Their coach better. You know, the thing that I read that was the scariest was, you know, Washburn following up on his tweets and his column. You know, he wrote in the Boston Globe, and, you know, kudos to Washburn and the Globe. I want to spend a minute on that in a little bit for, you know, having all this stuff. But he writes in his column in the Boston Globe, so this is what implosion looks like in person. Screaming in the locker room by multiple parties. Items sounding like chairs being thrown. A voice that sounded like Brad Stevens screaming for his players to calm down. A shirtless Marcus Smart walking to the bathroom saying, telling his teammates, y'all on that BS. don't know what that means. Y'all on that BS. But the thing that stood out there to me is Stevens in the middle of it. Like, can't you just hear Adam Jones? Gee, Willikers, guys, calm down. We're all in this together. Like, you know, powerless while these guys are screaming at each other and throwing stuff at each other. You know, oh, golly, gee, Willikers there is in the middle of it, and they're ignoring him. They're like, he's, I mean, like, might as well not be there.
Doesn't it feel that way? Like, he's like a mannequin there.
Yes,
they tuned him out.
They're melting down. But I'll tell you what, I'm not telling you Stevens is blameless. The coach isn't the problem. He's not the core problem. He's, you know, you can say he's part of it. They've tuned him out. It's not him. It's not him. It's the egos of the players. In that league, that gets in the way all the time. I'm the man. I get the ball. I'm the man. No, I'm the man. No, I am. So that's what's consuming them. They're getting eaten alive by that.
Absolutely. And so, and it's also sort of, Scal in the post game, and I'll play the cut coming up, keeps alluding to this bubble thing.
I heard this last night too, yeah.
You know, he keeps alluding to, like, I don't get this bubble life, and, you know, there's something about the bubble, and it, you know, the families are back now with the teams. Could that have something? He went back to it like a couple times.
Yeah, he was very cryptic about it.
And but I just wonder, like, is there something there off the court and the families being back in the bubble for them? Is it related to it? And then I heard, I didn't even realize this. Do you know Jimmy Butler has refused his family to come and join him in the bubble?
I didn't know this until you put it in the email. I kind of love that.
Butler said, no, you're not allowed.
It's so great.
It's a business trip. He's purposely kept his family out, and I think a lot of the Heat has too. You know, you have so many credentials and now openings. You can bring in 17 extra personnel or 30 extra family or friends or whatever, and the Heat are only using a couple of them. Most of the, from what I understand, Butler's family, not allowed, and other players have followed suit. And is that not just so them?
Yeah, so, icy cold businessmen. That's how they look on the floor.
Oh, they're locked in. They're completely locked in. You can see it.
So Pat Riley, so Jimmy Butler, like, those two are perfect for each other. And meanwhile, are the Celtics more worried about where mama's sleeping? Like, I don't know.
Is Tatum consumed for not being, you know, on the second all team, whatever that is, third, the second all pro?
Yeah.
Siakam beat me by 19 points or whatever it is. You know, like, based on how he's carrying himself and what he feels about himself already, you know that bugs him.
He looked disengaged to me last night. Like a guy who was told not to shoot so much and gave up the ball and just said, okay, fine. And so what they got was a guy who was in a borderline coma. That's what Tatum felt like to me last night.
Oh,
like,
so I don't get my shots. Oh, so you have to shoot. All right, fine. I'll just give the ball. Like, they're still bitching about, like, this is still the stage they're at.
Oh, yeah, no, they're a mess. There's no question.
Eastern Conference Finals.
Egos.
Ugh, is right, Murray. Ugh.
I hated that so much last night.
I mean, that is gross. Chance to go to the NBA Finals, win a championship. You do have a chance. You have that kind of talent. It's that kind of year. And you're more worried about your shots or the ball or what? What are you worried about? Because the team across the side is on the other side is only worried about winning and winning a championship. That's all they're worried about. What are you worried about? Ugh. You better hope that's just a growing pain and not what you are. Your thoughts on the Celtics right after this.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Bill Belichick sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now back to Felger and Mads. Boston's home for sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Kemba, offensive end, steps to his right, finds Tice. Tice puts in the hands of Tatum. Tatum into the corner. Jaylen Brown for the tie. No good. Rebound. Tice keeps it alive, but Adebayo comes down with it. Celtics have to foul. Jaylen gives it with 10.6 to go, and now the Celtics will have to foul again. Jaylen had the look.
I mean, you take that one all day, but I'm telling you, you have not seen Jason Tatum in this game. And this is what we talk about when primetime players step up, and Jimmy Butler has been that guy stepping up and making those plays.
Smart. We'll trigger the inbound. Lobs it. They go for a quick lob. It's deflected. Jay Crowder comes up with it, and Miami will walk away with game two. Adebayo into the front court. Marcus Smart comes over to give a foul, but there's no reason to because the Miami Heat wrestle game two. Momentum and full control of the Eastern Conference Finals away from the Celtics tonight. They come from 14 down to win game one. They come from 17 down to win game two. And for everything the Celtics have done to get to this point, they're going to have to reinvent the game plan to get back in this series. The Miami Heat are 10-1 in the playoffs, and they are two games away from the NBA Finals. The final score in game two, Miami 106, Boston 101.
Max says there, Jimmy Butler making those plays. Not the corner three, not that game. Plays he made last night were steals. Were defensive plays. Do you think Jason Tatum gets that?
Nope.
Or any of those guys get that other than Marcus Smart?
No, I just told you this. Of the top six players in Miami's rotation, you know where Jimmy Butler ranked in shot attempts last night? Sixth. Sixth. They all took more shots than Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler cares? You know, where's mine? Is he chirping like that? Where all the Celtics are? Like, that's the difference, right?
Totally. Completely. I mean, again, they're fighting each other. They're fighting each other, and meanwhile, the Heat are playing together, and they are picking the Celtics apart.
They did nothing wrong on that last possession. Jaylen Brown should have had that shot.
No, it was a good shot. That was a good possession.
Wide open corner three after he was the one that shot you back into the thing in the last minute. So that's exactly the shot they should have took. But are they looking at it and go, why is he taking the shot? That's my shot. Like, is that where still this team is? And has the coach done anything to affect that or get in the way of that? And I think the answer is categorically no. So, there's a million thoughts from that game. And also, you know, it also just stands out. I mean, that's a good look for Jaylen Brown. He should have hit that. And so it's a little bit of a gag that he missed it. And also Miami threw in a bunch of prayers that went in. You still should have won that game. You still could have won that game.
Celtics had 18 more shot attempts than Miami last night.
You know, you forget, they were still up 5 points in the fourth quarter.
I'm sorry, the other way around. Miami had 18 more shots than the Celtics did. So this is the turnovers. Miami got more shots. And, you know, again, you're giving the ball away. You're doing stupid crap.
Well, that one tells you the Celtics shouldn't win. I'm just saying they were up 5 in the fourth quarter. You don't realize it. Never mind the 17-point lead in the second or the 13-point lead at halftime or the 15-point lead in the third quarter. They were up 5 in the fourth. They were up 5, and Miami did have to hit a couple of, you know, as good as they've played and as much as they deserve to win, there were a couple of miracle shots there that went in. Olynyk put one in off the backboard. Crowder, the weapon has, you know, he hit a couple, I don't know. You want to bank on him hitting those on a regular basis. Even Dragic.
Yeah, that Dragic one too.
He loses the handle, picks it back up, shot clock winding down, and he hucks it and goes, you know. So I think it took them, I still think you're the more talented team, but you're not the better team. And that's what makes it so gross. Oh, you're the more talented team, but you're not the better team. All right, your thoughts, as promised. Here's Brian in Boston. Go.
Hey, guys. I agree with you guys a lot. I think the Celtics are definitely more talented. They have the more talented players. I don't think they're the more talented team by any means. Maz, I respectfully disagree. I think Stevens is totally responsible for this. But this is what happens when you invest in actual children. You get childlike behavior. You know, you put all the stock in 20, 21, 22-year-old children, you bring them up with Kyrie Irving, you're going to have these problems.
We can't blame Kyrie today. I'm sorry. He's gone. He's gone. And if Jason Tatum is you know, trending towards Kyrie or listen to Kyrie or is taking his advice, and that's on Jason Tatum. No, the days of blaming Kyrie should be over. He says it starts with the coach, Mass.
No, it doesn't start there. No, he's not exempt, but it doesn't start there. Again, I've just seen it too many times in that league. You know, years ago, fans at the Garden were calling for them to fire Doc Rivers. Then they got Kevin Garnett and Ray Allen. They won a title. It wasn't the coach. The coach is part of it. Don't get me wrong.
Well, I mean, here's what I'd say. I think they've completely tuned him out.
Maybe.
But you know what? I think most every NBA player tunes out his coach.
Exactly.
I think it's in the rarest of cases, Popovich maybe. Maybe in Miami they listen to Riley because he's Pat Riley. You know, there's like a few exceptions.
And those guys have five titles.
But I'd say even good teams, good play in the NBA, who listens to the coach?
What did the Clippers just do to Doc Rivers?
I mean, for God's sakes.
So this is what look, I'm just trying to be consistent. I've said all along, it's a players' league. It's not the coach, it's the players. So when they win, I credit the players. When they lose, I'm blaming the players.
Paul in New Bedford, go.
Yeah, hi. You know, I know, gentlemen, that the NBA is different from the NFL, but do you think that Brad Stevens should have done something like a Belichick and maybe bench Tatum for a few minutes to show that if you're going to be the hero and take all these low-percentage shots, which ultimately cost them both games, that that's where you're going to be for a few minutes? And secondly, real quick, can you just hear the girlfriends and the wives doing the Super G thing?
Yes.
Saying, honey, how come you didn't get the
yes.
ball?
Yes.
I think
yes.
Miami's right about not having the families in the bubble.
Yes, Paul, that second thing. Yes, something. I don't know. Who knows? Like, I have no idea. I just know Scal keeps alluding to it. I don't get the bubble. The families are in the bubble. Could it have something to do with that? So who the hell knows?
He's hearing something.
Who the hell knows? And meanwhile, Miami has said, you know what? The families aren't even welcome. This is a business trip. We're here to win a ring. That was Jimmy Butler's quote last night. It's like, this is what I'm doing for my family. I'm trying to bring him back a championship. Like, ooh, nice. Like, that works for me. That crap works for me. Meanwhile, you know, what are the Celtics worried about? And again, of course, I mean, every wife chirps the same thing into their husband's ear in sports. They're not treating you with enough respect. You're not getting enough, you know, blah, blah, blah. So you come off the court and you got to listen to that? I don't know. Or could it be worse? I mean, who knows? I have no idea. What's the first thing that he said?
Stevens, in terms of maybe benching
should he bench Tatum? I was going to ask, is there something he could have done in the third quarter during the Bama Bayou dunk contest?
Again, holding on to timeouts like they're gold. He holds on to timeouts like Danny Ainge holds on to draft picks. I don't get it. Call one. Slow things down. He drives me crazy with that kind of thing. And then the maybe benching a star player just to teach him a lesson or whatever, even if he wanted to do that, I don't think he has the personality to do it. So this is why I don't think he's absolved in these kind of meltdowns we've seen with this team over the last couple of seasons. Like, I just don't know if these guys take him seriously enough. He's a good X's and O's guy. But I don't know if that was Popovich. Does that kind of thing happen? You know, I don't think so.
Yeah, but again, Popovich has five titles. Whatever it is, it's different. And it's just, you know, how do you get that kind of credibility as a coach without the rings? I just, you know,
at some point in that third quarter, Mass.
Okay, no, the alley-oops are a different thing.
Over and over.
No, that's
over
different.
Over again, high pick and roll, alley-oop, like how many? I mean.
No, that's different. I'm talking about Tatum. In that league, if the coach benches his best player and he doesn't have credentials, you know what happens?
No, that's
the coach gets fired.
No, that's a tricky one in the NBA.
The coach gets fired.
Was there something he could have done?
Yes, my God. Yes, absolutely. No question. Just the way you defend it. Defend it differently. Give up the jumper. Stop giving up the dunk.
I mean, you give up a couple of those. I get it. There must have been seven or eight of them. How many times did that happen? So easy. It was so easy. And nothing was really done there to stop it. We continue with your thoughts on the Celtics. Nice team you got there, Jimmy. It's an agenda-free Friday. No agendas here. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Our car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Back to your phones after the update.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
You listen sometimes because you agree.
I agree with Matt.
And sometimes because deep down you like the pain.
Pulling each other's shirts off and licking each other's faces.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
spread. Such a swing. You guys came into this half with a 13-point lead. What happened?
Well, we stopped playing on both ends.
The turnovers in particular seem to be a problem. You have 15 for the game, 7 in that quarter alone. How do you get the guys to clean that up?
We just didn't. We didn't cut it all. We didn't pass it all. We didn't play it all. We got to play better.
Thank you, Brad. Back to you, Mike.
All right, Rachel Clearly, Brad Stevens upset with his team. They blew the 14-point fourth-quarter lead in Game 1. They let a 17-point lead turn to a 7-point deficit here in Game 2. Tyler Hero drives.
And, Mike, that's Brad Stevens seething. Like, very poised, calm, but absolutely seething.
Seething. It started after Game 1. Something happened after Game 1, too. So, the
you say that like you're informed.
Oh, I'm definitely not. I'm just maybe I was.
No, it was a good read. I mean, when you mentioned it yesterday, I was like, oh, I wonder if you know something. But
I'm subtly patting myself on the back for sensing it after Game 1. Because I did yesterday say, like, you know, when Jaylen Brown comes out and says, we talked about it. Like, what does that mean? You talked about it. You talked calmly about it, like in a nice team meeting with, you know, the X's and O's and the thing up on the board. Did you all scream at each other? Because sometimes that's a vernacular for we all went to the locker room and screamed at each other. And I just thought, I don't know. I mean, who's Jaylen Brown to say we talked about it? Like, who cares about your shots, dude?
And just body language alone on that end of regulation shot by Tatum. You look at Tice, you look at Marcus Smart. Like, you can tell some guys were pissed.
They got a hierarchy problem on that team. They all think they're at the top.
Right?
They all think they're at the top. It's the problem. You got to sort that out. Like, this is... You know, Mike, you mentioned a bunch of guys. Like, some guys remain losers their whole career. And, you know, Harden, Carmelo Anthony. Like, you know what a great example of that failing is? Durant and Westbrook. Durant and Westbrook played together. And they couldn't get out of their own way.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so they had to break up. It just fell apart. Durant went to Golden State. Westbrook ended up now in Houston. Like, the whole point is, you tell me those guys don't have enough talent to make a run at a title? But they couldn't get their crap together. And these guys better watch out because they're heading down the same path.
So you ask me, like, I go to Brown and Tatum. I mean, and I have no idea this is, again, just I'm watching through the TV like all of you.
Don't leave Smart out.
But I think he's more of a role guy, and I think he kind of knows it in a respect. I don't know. You think he thinks he's more than that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I do.
Is that Apple Watch information, or is that just speculation?
I think that Marcus Smart thinks he's a better scorer than he is.
Yeah, well, that's apparent watching on TV, too.
So that means that at the end of the game, he probably thinks he should be shooting the ball if he's open. And Jaylen Brown clearly thinks he should be shooting the ball at the end of the game, and we know Tatum feels that way. So now what do you got? Like, to me, that is, you know, sooner or later, those guys have to accept their roles and their place, and they're not there yet.
But this is where they're at. And you say yet. You better hope
that's
yet.
Right.
You better hope yet. You better hope you can say they're it's too early. They're still figuring it out. Figuring it out implies that they will ultimately figure it out and have the maturity to know what their roles are and to just, you know, settle down and play and worry about winning. But there's a chance they never do. Durant and Westbrook never did.
Correct.
And I still think Durant's that guy. He had to chase his ring. He had to have someone else win it for him. So, like, there's no guarantee they will figure it out. But anyway, more on that scene. Shams in the Athletic. I'm also going to, you know, check in with Jimmy's phone. Because that Jimmy's phone sometimes has some good information. Sham says there was a commotion both outside and inside the Boston locker room as the media gathered outside awaiting post-game interviews. And they heard shouts, Av yelling, and what appeared to be a scuffle. Here's what the Athletic learned went on behind those closed doors. Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown had a heated confrontation inside the locker room after the Game 2 loss and needed to be separated by teammates. Multiple sources told the Athletic. Sources also told The Athletic that Smart stormed into the Celtics postgame locker room, saying that other players needed to be held accountable and not simply point the finger toward him when things are going wrong. As Smart continued, his voice grew louder. Sources said Brown then snapped back and shouted that Celtics players must stay together and that their actions must come as a team, not individually, and that Smart needed to cool off. Those sources added Smart had verbal exchanges with a couple of the assistant coaches during the game as well. Smart and Brown had a tense interaction inside the locker room with objects thrown. Teammates defused the situation before any physical altercation could take place, sources told The Athletic. Smart and Brown have smoothed tensions over since the verbal spat. And one source, Ainge, said the Celtics would learn from it and move on ahead of a pivotal game three on Saturday. I just said Ainge there because, boy, that's sure polishing the thing. You think – so, look, there is two ways to look at it, that this is a team imploding and they're falling apart and they'll never get it back together, or that's that moment they have to figure out what they have to do and they come together, and that's sort of like the turning point. What are the odds are that that's like the come-together turning point?
1%.
I don't think it is. Yeah.
What's your gut tell you?
1%.
It's too late.
This is the same kind of crap that was going on with this team last year, and I know that Kyrie was there, and he was obviously a big factor, but there's other players involved here, and that's Tatum and Brown and Smart.
It's too late.
It doesn't happen in the middle of a series like that, typically.
Exactly. So wait a minute. On Thursday, they're complete, immature, selfish, acting like a bunch of bitches, but on Saturday, they've got it all figured out.
Yeah, not with a young team, no.
Doesn't work that way.
No, it takes longer than that.
If you're telling me this happened at Thanksgiving and by Christmas, they sort of figured it out and then off, I get it. You're telling me it happens in a 36, 48-hour span in Orlando in the bubble when they're throwing stuff at each other in the locker room, that on Saturday they've all figured it out?
No, we've heard this story before. The plane ride out to the West Coast when they had that great West Coast road trip where they figured everything out, where they're beating Golden State and everything last year. Again, Kyrie was a factor, yes. But, oh, no, everything's solved. They flipped the switch. How'd they look in the playoffs? They got a little pushback. They lost in a gentleman's sweep to Milwaukee. The same kind of things happening here.
It's too late.
I mean, it does feel that way. Like, to me, I think they're done. I think it's over.
So do I.
Yeah,
too late.
I think this has, and it has nothing to do with being down 2-0. It's how they've handled it. They just can't handle it.
And I also think, I know Beatles said this earlier, and I think he's right. Jaylen Brown sounds like the source here. Because, you know, the way that's portrayed is that Smart was out of his mind, losing his cool, taking on coaches. Jaylen Brown's the one that stepped up and said, no, we have to do this together. You know, it's just all just reads like, you know, Jaylen Brown is the cool-headed savior and leader of the team and Smart being out of line. I feel like Jaylen Brown is now narking to the media. That's what it sounds like to me.
I mean, you know, again, he went at it with Kyrie, right? So yep. Now he's going at it with Smart.
Clubhouse lawyer.
Feels that way, doesn't it?
Clubhouse lawyer.
And this is like, again, so they're struggling to have control of the team. Smart wants it his way. Brown wants it his way. This is the core of the problem. This is at the essence of the problem.
What does Jimmy Stewart's phone think happened?
Hang on. Checks phone. Tatum is the problem. Smart's started in on Tatum in the locker room referencing. Brown stepped in and it escalated between Brown and Smart. A play I was told to look at the end of the first half when Tatum hoists up the three, look at Tatum's reaction. He turns away and throws everything away in disgust, throws his arms up in disgust.
No, Tatum does.
You're up 13.
Hold on.
And that's the type of reaction you get?
No, but Tatum took I noticed this. At the end of the second quarter, Tatum took like another hero ball shot,
he did,
right?
Yep.
So it was a Tatum that put his hands up?
Daniel Tice.
I'm sorry, Tice. So Tice put his hands up.
So Tice is reacting like that.
Tice is always putting his hands up, by the way. Put your hands down. You suck. Like I said this yesterday. Like quit with your just shut up and play. Okay, I'm sick of looking at you, complaining about this or that or the other. You blow. Go ahead.
I get the feeling that Marcus Smart might not be here next year.
Is that a late breaking?
Yeah, that was it. It actually alerted while I was talking.
I mean, I'll tell you what. I don't rule out some sort of change there involving one of those three guys.
So Jimmy's phone says Tatum is the problem. Smart took him on. Brown stepped in, and that's why it became a confrontation between Brown and Smart. Makes sense. I think Tatum's attitude is a problem. I don't trust his attitude right now.
Yeah, you know what the problem is, though, with that? He's the most talented of the three. So now if you're a team, who do you choose? You got to choose the talent.
No brainer.
Well, what if Jason Tatum wants to choose playing with his friend in Phoenix?
So Jimmy's got Kyrie going to Phoenix in case you're trying to keep up.
No, Tatum going to Phoenix
to play with Devin Booker.
Oh, so I was confused. I thought you had Kyrie going to Phoenix yesterday.
Also that after Kyrie fails in Brooklyn.
Okay.
So look, I just think
that 3-year process, Michael.
I mean, if Smart and Brown are going at it, well, they both think they're running the team. So how does that work going forward?
And as we know, Danny Ainge has always picked Jaylen Brown. Wouldn't trade him for Kawhi Leonard. Wouldn't trade him for Luka Doncic. So he's obviously going to trade him over Marcus Smart.
This is still where the Celtics are at, folks.
Unbelievable.
This bitchy catfight. This bitchy ego, you know, where's my shot? Who are you? It's my team. No, it's my team. Well, you want me to give the ball up? I'll give the ball up. That's the way Tatum carried himself last night. And he was sort of a passenger. Okay, fine. You don't want me taking the shots? Fine. Like, that's still Eastern Conference Final. Chance to win a championship. This is what your players are doing.
And if Smart was going after Tatum, why does Brown have to come to the rescue there?
bunch of clubhouse lawyers.
Right, so Brown is clearly on Tatum's side, which means Smart's the odd man out. If someone gets traded, it's Smart.
Meanwhile, Jimmy Butler is saying, I don't care if I shoot 3 times, 11 times, or 20 times, and my wife and kids or whatever I got at home, you're going to stay home because this is a business trip and I don't need to see you. And if you want one of my coffees, it's going to cost you $12 and I'm here to win. And the rest you can go F yourself. So one team has the right attitude, and it ain't you. Pick it up on the other side in a long commercial-free segment.
It's Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Mazz.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Mazz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Crowder hoists one up. And that's good. And a foul. Crowder fired an off-balance contested three-pointer and now has a chance for a four-point play.
The dangerous part about this Heat team, they have no quit in them. They're going to continue to fight. Even though they're struggling, things not going their way, they hang around just enough until they can put a string of plays together. And Crowder knocks down the long ball with the contact.
And that's 3 fouls now on Jaylen Brown. Crowder, his first three-pointer, his first field goal, and his first points.
Played that just for Mazz Murray, the weapon. Dad, you want to talk about Jay Crowder?
I never said that. You guys are being intellectually dishonest. All I said was their five play very well together, and it's a well-constructed team. That's all I said.
You said their five have no holes.
I did not say no holes.
That's exactly what you said.
I said offensively.
You said no holes.
They can all make shots.
Okay, so I mean, like, fine. Prove you right.
No, what I said was
trying to help you out here.
No, what I said. I'm not interested in being right. I'm interested in being quoted accurately.
Oh, you like being right.
You may misquote me if it proves that I'm right.
No, what I said was their fifth guy, a 5-on-5 offensively at the end of the floor. Offensively, their five is better than your five, the full five, because their fifth guy is Crowder. Yours is Tice. Tice had an open three last night and bricked it. That was my only point. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. No, but I mean, I thought you said they had no holes and, you know, Crowder would be the one guy that you'd pick at. And Crowder came through with some big shots last night. I'm trying to help you out there, Mazz. I also was a little bit of a bad break by the Celtics on that sequence. If you remember, there was a loose ball on the floor that Tice got tied up on. And they called it a jump ball and gave Miami a clean 24-second clock. That was that sequence. And I thought that was a bad break for you officiating-wise, which was then corrected by the refs as they tried to get you back in the game by putting you in the bonus with 8.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter. This is another thing that's lost in all the post-game nonsense. You were in the bonus with 8.5 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
Did they go to the rim?
And you had a 5-point lead in the fourth quarter. I think it was right around that time as well. And all you had to do was play with a little bit of force, and you would have finished the game at the line.
They caved way too easily. It's really that simple. They rattle way too easy. Miami turns up the heat on them, and not only do they crack, they crumble. They completely disintegrate. That's what happened last night.
And part of the reason is, as we're finding out, they don't like each other or trust each other, or it's a measuring contest in there or something. And that's part of it, and that's gross. Back to your phones. On that thing in the bonus, Derek, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys? So, yeah, just building off that. So they were in the bonus with 8.5 minutes left, and how many foul shots did they have? Two.
Oh.
Making one. I mean, did that just show total lack of awareness, total lack of aggressiveness? It just seems like that's an unacceptable thing if you want to call yourself championship caliber.
Unacceptable. I mean, they should be trying to get to the rim anyway, which gets you to the line. But either way, if you play with a little bit of force, a team in the bonus, 8.5 minutes. I mean, they gave you the bonus almost the entire fourth quarter, and you couldn't take advantage of it. Ugh.
And Miami basically is daring them to go to the rim. I mean, they're playing their forwards out at the top of that zone on top of it, as we heard last night.
Exactly.
So the whole point, because they know the Celtics aren't going to go in there. They don't have a reliable scoring guy in there. They know that.
Or they don't have the will to do it. Andrew and Waltham on this. Go ahead, Andrew.
Hey, I want to talk about the fourth quarter and how Miami was in a zone, and Celtics had four guys on three-point line, Tice down low, and then they didn't have anybody in the high post. It blew my mind. They couldn't get any offense going. They were on a pick and roll, and the zone just slides over, and they're screwed. I don't know what they were thinking.
How in the world can a zone that you played in the sixth grade, you know, stymie an NBA team in the fourth quarter of the Eastern Conference Finals?
Great question.
I mean, seriously.
It's another one that you can probably look at the coach, although I suspect Stevens was screaming them for them to do something different, and they didn't, if I had to guess.
It takes penetration there, especially with the big guys up top. Beat them off the dribble, get one step inside, and then either go to the rim or kick it back out or whatever. But all it takes is playing with some force there and going to the basket to break down that zone, and they couldn't do it.
And they were living out on the perimeter, and Miami knew it. They knew it, so they played out on the perimeter.
Ugh.
I mean, it's just, again, the lack of awareness and sense and balls, the lack of balls, all of it should send you through the roof, because that thing last night was embarrassing.
Bill in Florida, hi.
Hey, guys. Just had a quick cue for the panel. When Marcus Smart hit a Celtics record 11 three-pointers in one game, did the Celtics win the game?
Huh. I don't remember what game you're talking about.
I don't think he hit 11. Did he hit 11?
Maybe in
January 18th.
Okay, so go ahead. The answer's probably no.
Yeah, correct. They lost. And it's the same point I was making on Wednesday when I called in. Essentially, Smart is not a big dog. This time he outshot Tatum. Last game it was Brown. He outshot Tatum by double in the fourth quarter. And it's oftentimes just ISO. He's shooting a shot mid-shot clock. They just have to find a way to have him shoot eight or less times and let him be his amazing defensive self if they got a chance in this series.
Okay.
And I can't help but wondering that if someone like Tatum, who carries himself a superstar and has that kind of upside, looks at Marcus Smart and is like, you're a role player, man. Like, why are you carrying yourself like this? Why do you think you should be getting these shots? Because for all that we feel about Marcus Smart and all the winning plays, and I love him, and I do think he's the heart and soul of that team. If you're someone with the likes of the talent of Jason Tatum, I have to think he looks at him like, oh, please stop yapping. Like, who are you? I'm so much better than you. And that's part of the problem.
Absolutely. They don't accept him as Smart views himself as that, and they don't accept him.
Yeah,
as
he's not on their level.
And I think they're right. Like, and I was looking up the callers, right? I don't remember this game. He took 22 threes in one game.
Which one? Again, January against who?
January 18th against Phoenix. Marcus Smart took 22 three-pointers in one game.
And they lost?
They lost. He got 37 that night, and they lost. Holy crap. I don't remember that. Wow. But I do. I think he fancies him. I mean, look, his offense has improved, but what he doesn't accept is that he is the fourth option at best. If Hayward's on the floor, he's the fifth. And I just don't know if he accepts that.
Wait till Hayward comes back and Skippy Magoo there starts giving his buddy minutes. Let's see how the chemistry improves in the locker room then. Never mind Brown not getting his shots or Tatum and Smart. Now here comes Hayward and Stevens is playing him over those guys. You think that's going to improve morale inside there?
Oh,
Jesus.
I'm telling you, there's a power struggle inside there, whether they want to admit it or not. Call it what you want. There's a power struggle. See, they all want to be at the top of the food chain.
Here comes Murray's 90-second update, no commercials, and then we're right back.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
The Dave McGilvery Finish Strong Foundation's goals are to inspire and empower youth across New England and beyond to increase physical activity, expand literacy, and build community and self-esteem through running, reading, and performing acts of kindness. Join us in our mission to empower youth through fitness and education. With your support, we can provide the opportunities for youth to cross their own finish line one step at a time. Together, we can build a stronger, healthier future. Go to DaveMcGilveryFoundation.org for more information.